Blog Talk Radio.
Alaska Patriot Network. I'm Dahl. I'm your host. I'll be joined by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find that right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Stay tuned for that. We have a great show lined up for everybody tonight. So while we get settled into our respective host and co-host chairs and bring the studio up, we'll be playing some music for you, and you can always, you know, let the dog in, put a log on the fire, but we'll make it real quick for y'all. But so the guest call-in number for tonight's show is 515-602-9722. We are broadcasting live, so your calls will be live on air. 515-602-9722. We have a great show lined up for you. We'll be discussing, you know, well, the muckery that's going on here in the world and in the United States. But we'll start at home first here in the United States and move on from there. So while we're getting settled in, we got a little bit of Rain Johnson here for you, laid back. It is Friday night, so maybe mix a drink. Get ready for the show.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving, but make me feel like screaming. But baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry. But girl, I ain't even getting mad, 'cause I've been getting laid back. Baby, you should know that I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's on a need to know. And all you need to know, babe, since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees it, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on a DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's not a need to know. And all you need to know, babe, since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back.
I
I've been getting laid back. Busy getting laid back. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Busy getting laid back. Keep getting lucky, getting laid.
Well, I could tell you about him cheating and how I stood there while she was screaming out his name beneath my Egyptian cotton sheets. And I could tell you how she's much younger and how she lies and tells him he's a good lover. How the dolphin on her back looks more like a manatee. I'd be happy to share all the gory details. Oh, but that's another bottle of wine. I got the Pinot, oh, if you got the time. Fill her up and before you know, you'll know more than you.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
And we are back with the Alaska Patriot Network. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Our chat is open and operable, I hope. And we'll see. I haven't even opened it yet. So we'll hope it's connecting now. We were having problems with it on some previous shows, so we'll see what happens here. So if you'd like to join the show, our call-in number is 515-602-9722. So, folks, before we start the show, I want you to like take some inventory before we start the discussion tonight. And I want you to ask yourself, how do you trust the government that continuously sidesteps the Constitution and undermines your rights? I personally cannot. When you consider all the ways we, the people, are being bullied, beaten, bamboozled, targeted, tracked, repressed, robbed, impoverished, imprisoned, and killed by the government, one can only conclude that you shouldn't trust government with your privacy and property, your life and your freedoms. I want you to consider yourselves tonight. Each and every one of you are a sovereign human being. And every injustice that's happened in the last, well, I wouldn't even say, a lot of you are just waking up now, and no judgment there. But, you know, I mean, the moon landing. I mean, hello, you've been bamboozled and psyopsed to death. Scamdemics, wars, food shortages. If you're old enough like me, you know, you've got the Carter administration. I hate to admit it, how old I was. I was very young during the Carter administration, by the way. I remember that. And I remember a lot of this. And, you know, folks, we are handing our liberties over, like, our lunch money to bullies at the playground. And there's been a lot of muckery that's happened. And everybody needs to wake up. And I think that's kind of why we show up every Friday night and then respectively on Sunday nights for the Lucid Libertarian Show. But I really would love to hear your guys' input on this. So the number is 515-602-9722. Press number 1 to come on in the show. It'll raise your hand in the studio. We'll know you want to talk. If you just want to listen, just hang out there. But keep in mind, if you do want to pipe up, put your hand up, press number 1, or call back in, or however that works. But so before we start the show, we've got a lot tonight to share with you. And some of the information is just old news. I mean, we've heard it. Biden has documents. Trump has documents. Blah, 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 blah. But what you're not hearing is the important stuff in between. And that's, we're going to fill in some of the gaps for you tonight. So before we kick off the show, we're going to welcome in Lori-Ann.
Lori-Ann, welcome. Hello, happy Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you. I can hear you well.
Good.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. You know, all right. So if you want to go Friday the 13th, you know, originally, Lori-Ann, Friday the 13th was the day of the divine feminine. Okay?
Feminine. Really? I never knew
and
that.
As in female, biological female. And it was a very celebrated day. Patriotical times, I hate to say that. Friday the 13th was considered the day of the goddess. It was considered a day of worship the divine feminine lives in us and to honor the cycles of creation and death and rebirth, which is really important considering our times. I mean, look at the war on the babies. And I respect, you know, women's
and
choice war,
and
all
and the
that,
war on natural women, you know. The
exactly.
war on naturally born girls, you know, and
women.
The natural
yeah.
feminine side of things, exactly.
But they want us to share it with all. I mean, it's like getting a birthday present and have to be expected to let every kid at the party play with it. Hello. Okay. So Friday the 13th was considered a very powerful day to manifest, honor, creativity, and to celebrate beauty, wisdom, and nourishment of the soul. And I don't believe that was only for women. I think it was for all of us. Take an inventory. The number 13 also holds an extremely potent feminine energy and is considered to be the number of death and rebirth, creation, fertility, and blood. This is teen moon cycles every year, and the average woman experiences 13 periods a year, but I didn't want to put that in there, but yeah.
Well,
so,
it's true, you know.
It's a,
so let's embrace that,
but,
you know.
You know,
so, I mean, that is a fact of life that's been, you know, women have had their periods. Yeah, since the dawn of womanhood, and you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about talking about it, right? Like, let's get rid of that stigma.
Laurie, and you said
that,
the P word.
You know, oh, hush, hush, we can't talk about this.
You know, but natural women do have the P word every month. Okay, you guys. So, anyways, so Friday the 13th isn't so bad. Let's celebrate a little bit and manifest good things for the universe.
And you know what? Friday the
13th
has always been a relatively good luck day for me. You know, it hasn't been like this day of bad luck, like this horrible day. You know, I've always embraced it. I've always been like, yeah, because, you know, I think it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecy things that if you're convinced that Friday the 13th is a bad luck day, then you'll manifest that. And but if you consider it the opposite, where you can manifest, you know, good things happening, and like you said, rebirth, you know, the feminine side of things, you know, love and things like that, you know, that explains a lot, because Friday the 13th has always been something that I've, you know, I've welcomed. I've thought, yay, cool, Friday the 13th. And you know, and I'll, you know, give my black cat an extra hug, you know, that kind of thing, you know?
Well, exactly. I guess I look at Freya 13th as in like, come on, go and bring it on, universe. You know, I mean, I've got all the tools to deal with you, and I'm going to manifest the best day I can. And also it's
absolutely
a good time for me to say what's wrong in my life and what can I fix and what can I rectify. And I've been doing a lot of that the last couple of days. My woodshed was a mess. I sent you a picture. You know all about that fiasco. It's Alaska Patriot thing, but woodshed, water, food source, you know, just out here in the bush, it's a different lifestyle, and I had to really manifest some off-grid shit today. So today was the challenge.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you rely on that. That is, you know, that is your heat. That is how you stay warm in winter in Alaska. And the more well-managed your woodshed is, the easier it is to get that wood, you know, and bring it into the house so you can use it, you know, and especially the different sizes that you need and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, people underestimate the importance of a well-managed woodshed, for sure, and all the work that goes into it, you know, it's, you know, from chopping the wood to different sizes that you need to stacking it properly and organizing it. You know, a lot of people just really don't get how important it really is. And I was telling you in our chat about, you know, growing up, you know, spending a lot of time at my grandpa's farm, you know, he had a wood-burning furnace in the basement of the house and, you know, one of those big, you know, vent grates, you know, in the living room where the heat would come up to keep the house warm. And, you know, I remember helping him, and I being the youngest, he was getting older when, you know, when I was old enough to start helping with that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, you know, as soon as I was old enough, I was helping Grandpa with the wood, whether it was stacking it, whether it was helping to gather
the various pieces that was needed from the woodshed to the house, and then getting it all downstairs and stacking it down in the basement so it's ready to go. And like, I literally have no idea how old I was when I learned how to start a fire in that furnace. Like, I was that little. I have no memory of my grandpa teaching me. It's like I always, it's almost like this knowledge that I've always known, you know, but I can credit my grandfather for teaching me at a very young age how to, you know, something so simple as, you know, how to build a fire. It's such a survival technique, you know, and so I totally get it. You know, life there in Alaska is, you know, it has its own essence, but some of the fundamentals are very similar to what life on the farm in Minnesota was like. So I definitely have an appreciation for that.
Yeah, it's definitely primal because this time of year, well, right now we're having an issue with our primary water source and the cleansing of it. So a lot of us are going, you know, out by ice road by 20 miles, you know, 20 miles on sheet ice to go break through with the axe and fill our jugs from a good spring source. So, I mean, this is, it's hardcore sometimes, and it's been really challenging the last few days, and it's made me take inventory on some stuff. But, you know, it also makes me really grateful that I am not living in the lower 48 right now, and it doesn't absolve me from the woes of politics, especially with Lisa Murkowski having stole the election essentially through ranked choice voting. But, you know, we're still interconnected still. We're far away yet close to all of you. So with that said, you know, let's just dive into the hardcore of it. And we'll start with the Biden documents. Okay. I don't know why I'm not surprised by the discovery of documents that Biden had. There's so little we know about them. We don't know if they were vice presidentially released documents or if they were Obama documents. That's something we haven't heard a lot about.
I'm betting on Obama documents. I'm betting that
so
these are documents Biden never should have had to begin with.
Thank you. And that's why we work together, sister. These shows are unscripted, folks. So Lori Ann, I don't have this big, long gal chat or where we all think before we do the shows. But, yeah. So it's really curious. We do not know what kind of documents. But to me, personally, Lori Ann, all of that is irrelevant. What sticks out with me with these documents are the facts, the fact that they were, well, there's a couple things about them. But the first thing is the fact that they were discovered November 2nd. Hello. These last primary elections
and
were really critical. I mean, like, they were really important. We're deciding, you know, Senate and Congress and all kinds of things. And I don't know if that would have swayed people's minds. You can't tell in this political climate these days. But timing's
everything. It probably
would
have. Just like
well,
during
yes,
the presidential election and the suppression of the Hunter Biden story and the laptop. And they suppressed it until after the election. And yeah, you know, and this is a repeat of that as a way to suppress it during the midterm elections when the Democrats were, you know, really trying to keep a hold of their House and Senate majority. I mean, it, the writing's on the wall. It's clear as day.
All right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Timing is everything.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, we have two really critical, not only elections, but like historical moments. Our elections are not just elections. They're milestones. They are growth periods. They are change of hand, change of, not even change of hand, but the will of the people. And we, A, know to now, November 2nd, prior to that, actually, so November 2nd, they discovered the documents at the Penn Globalist, whatever. I mean, like, the name says it all.
Yeah,
at University
office. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but Globalist. Globalist is in there. It's like the second word in there.
Exactly.
It says Penn and Globalist. All right. November 2nd, 2022. All right. That is just like, Lorianne, what the heck do you say to that? I mean, November 2nd. People are going to the polls. They're making their decisions. A lot of people have priority voted by mail. Yeah. And even if it were leaked the week of the elections, the mainstream, lamestream media would hop up and say, disinformation. And who are we going to blame it on? Well, we got two people we can blame it on. Putin or Trump. I mean, that would be their autopilot.
Of course. It's Trump's fault that Biden hung on to these documents for so many years. Which is the other point.
Well, all right. So,
these documents have been sitting in Biden's, you know, either in that office or in that garage for all of these years, like, seriously? And somehow still the left-wing media is making it out like Trump was worse, you know? And it's like, how is that worse? At least he didn't have boxes of them in his garage that could be easily broken into. You know, he had those documents in Mar-a-Lago under security, like in a safe and stuff. I mean, and he didn't hang on to them for years. You know? It's just crazy.
Yeah. So what's notable about that is, things notable, we have election dates, you know, that are notable and release the information. It wasn't released till 2023. The documents were discovered in 2022. We're finding out in 2023. Unacceptable. And then B, whoa, and lo and behold, we found another bundle of documents. And the documents were in an unsecured garage next to a gas-guzzling Corvette convertible. I'm pretty sure it was the gas-guzzling Corvette convertible that absconded those documents and concealed them. I mean, it is gas afterwards. You cannot trust gas. You know. But anyway,
He sure is proud of it. He was more concerned about his precious Corvette than he was about the documents found in the garage along with it. It's just like such
a pathetic. But what's notable is who owned the garage, Lorianne.
I wonder
Hunter
who that might
Biden.
Be.
Hunter
Sunny
Biden
boy.
Owned that house. Yes, Hunter Biden. Is the property owner.
I wonder
owner
if Hunter Biden was
house.
Like, you know,
until
Martin
recently.
Lines on those boxes of classified documents.
Well, I don't know. He's had a lot of hookers. You can do more than snort lines on those boxes.
That is true.
Well, it's Friday night, folks. Friday night.
I wonder
but
if the,
anyway, so.
I wonder if in this investigation they should do some DNA testing to see how many different people have touched those boxes of classified documents.
Well, exactly, Lori. And no, it's not even a laughing matter. Those boxes contained classified materials that you and I had just come to a conclusion, along with many listeners, that there's a strong probability that, you know, we're not the only ones that, like, a lot of people have seen those boxes. Now, I don't know what's more concerning. Is boxes in an unsecured garage owned by Hunter Biden and or boxes of unsecured documents at a university that's received millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party? And it wasn't just in Biden's office, like some obscure, you know, academia office. This was a think tank, meaning that lots of people had access to it, lots of people that would be looking for the right information. What the heck?
Yep, you know what? And I wonder if there's some Fast and Furious documents in there.
Oh,
I mean, it was
sure
while he was VP under Obama. What a great way to conceal classified documents surrounding that operation than to store them at a think tank office and then in his son's garage.
I agree. But what's really concerning is that, you know, all of the people. All right, so let's backtrack just a little bit. So you have a think tank at Penn University that is just free-for-all with classified documents. You have Chinese government making, or communist government making like a $50 million donation to them. And then in the process of all of this, the chancellor or president of the university, I'm not quite sure, clear yet what it was, but this same person is a ambassador now. $50 or $50 million in Chinese dollars, million, it got, you know, I mean, it's follow the paper trail. Follow these people and you'll follow them right to Davos, right to the green agenda, right into this
World Economic
we
Forum.
Call it the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, yeah, it's nuts.
Wasn't it during the Obama administration that the Ukraine had, like, you know, another, like, conflict and stuff and uprisings and things like that? Wasn't that around the time of Obama's administration?
What was
one
that?
Of the many that the Ukraine has had, basically.
Are we going to Ukraine now? I'm open.
No, like, these I'm still tying it in with these documents because I'm pretty sure during the Obama administration was one of the times that there was conflict in the Ukraine as well. Big uprisings and a bunch of problems and things like that. You know, so I also kind of wonder if some of these classified documents that have been found in Biden's, you know, garage or that office had to relate to Ukraine as well. And then, of course, the business dealings and, of course, China and all that stuff, too. I mean, we don't know. And I don't even think that once they do actually tell us what these documents actually pertain to, I think that, number one, a lot will be admitted and, number two, you know, omitted, not admitted, but omitted and watered down to, you know, they're already trying to water it down like not a big deal. but I don't think that we're going to even be told the truth of what's really in those documents. The media is so concerned with covering Obama's ass on this that we won't even know exactly what was in those documents.
Yeah. No, we won't. And Lorianne, for some reason, I'm unable to, like, respond in chat. Chat will not allow me to type anything or do anything. So we do
refreshing it. I had to refresh it a couple of times in chat before it would let me type anything. So, yeah.
Okay. Because we do have some chat content going on to this topic, and I'm trying to respond, and I cannot. Oh, now I can. So, be wise as serpents. I'm reading your text. So, does 2 billion arms and financial assistance to Ukraine wage war against Russia mean anything to America? USA is at war with Russia and Ukraine as we speak. You can keep speculating about boxes. There are boots on the ground in Ukraine heading for Russia. All right. To be clear, be wise, serpents, it's all a psyops. It's a big money laundering scam. Don't want to hurt any feelings and whatnot, but 200 billion is a lot. It's more than I ever spent in Afghanistan. And that was like a ridiculous shit show to begin with that I didn't agree with. It's all money laundering. Be wise as serpents is in Europe. Yeah, I am, you know, uncommitted to getting into a civil war between Russia and Ukraine. I mean, I'm not going to, don't want to spend billions of dollars to start World War III and do the technocrat and elitist agenda. It's ridiculous. We're just playing into it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. It's like, you know, the PSYOP is the backbone to justifying convincing, you know, Americans and everybody else to fund this. And,
engage in war.
You know, going back to the classified documents, we can speculate, but, you know, I would not doubt if, even under the Obama administration, this stuff in the Ukraine has been in the works for years, you know, what's leading up to this. And I'm thinking that the Obama years with Biden as VP is instrumental in what we are actually paying for now. And you're right. You know, we are starting to move some of our own American boots on the ground in Ukraine as consultants, of course. You know, they'll give it little fluffy names like that. But this is all happening, you know, and it's all being justified by a bunch of psyopses that, you know, are trying to say, yeah, you know, rah, 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 support Ukraine. Keep giving them money. Keep giving them tanks. Keep giving them, you know, weapon systems, you know, anti-missile weapon systems. Let's keep feeding Ukraine all of this money and artillery and weapons. And damn you, you're a bad person if you criticize any of it. You know, that's the psyops.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I am interested to see, going back to the Biden documents, I'm really curious to see what he was exactly hiding. And then what the left-wing media is also downplaying is the difference between the Presidential Records Act and what a president of the United States is and is not allowed to do compared to other federal employees, which a vice president, you know, falls under other, you know, a vice president is not the president. So there are different rules involved with a vice president and their handling of classified documents. And the left-wing media is downplaying that aspect, you know, and so we have to kind of keep that in mind as well. And, you know, yeah, sure, now, you know, Biden is president now, but he wasn't back then. And he wasn't president over all of these years that these documents have been sitting there unsecured. You know, they tried to make this big deal of Trump not securing, having those, you know, not just having those documents, but they weren't adequately secured when they literally were, you know, they were secured, you know, and then he secured them even more. My understanding is, you know, the FBI said, hey, you know, I want you to secure them, you know, even higher than that. And that's exactly what Trump did. Am I wrong? And then that wasn't even good enough. So, you know, the left-wing media is trying to cover Biden's ass here. And, you know, how secure is keeping them in boxes in a garage, you know, a garage that could be broken into, where, and it's not even, by, you know, Joe Biden's property. You know, this reeks, this stinks, and the media is trying to downplay it more and more and more. So I just, you know, this is just crazy. And, you know, at what point do these Biden supporters finally, you know, what does Biden have to do for these lefties to finally wake up? You know, how much more wrong does Biden have to do? How many more lies does Biden have to say out of his mouth? You know, how many more cover-ups? How many more scams does it take? You know, it's like, it reminds me of that Tootsie Roll. You know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop? It reminds me of that. Like, how much more? Sorry, I went on a rant there.
Yeah, oh, it's just like, there was, 9/11 was the gateway to all this, okay? That only the government can keep you safe. And, you know, in two decades since 9/11, the military, security, industrial complex has operated under the industrial complex, has operated under a permanent state of emergency. If you do not take your damn shoes off the airport, we're all going to die. You know, if you do not get naked body scanned, I hate to say that phrase after my Freedomizer days, but, you know,
but that's
you're
what it
terrorist.
Is. Yeah.
And, you know, we have been under...
Oh, my God. If you have more than 2 ounces of fluid, you know, you're a terrorist.
Well, you know, this has turned into a digital prison. We're in digital prison. Ever since the Patriot Act was enacted, we've been in a digital prison. This is, I don't know how this, what this has to do with the Biden papers, but, you know, we have gotten ourselves into this awful quagmire, Lorianne, and... You know, we've lived emergency to emergency. We had 9/11. Now we have the, you know, scandemic, and now we have Ukraine, and we had Afghanistan. And before 9/11, we had, you know, Al-Qaeda, little bits here and there peppered in to make us scared about 9/11. And, I mean, just this constant state of fear. Fear, well, fear can make you lots of money. And they've done that on our backs. And, you know, people are like, what do you mean fear on my back? Well, the wall-to-wall surveillance, monitored by AI, soft-growing networked effusion centers. You know, we have had these twin concepts of privacy and monotony almost void. You know, we have conspired by compliance with the Department of Homeland Security. We have personally fueled the influx of money into surveillance, policing of our cities under a banner of emergency response and counterterrorism. We've lived in fear since 9/11. And that whole conditioning, not only us, you and I, Lorianne, that were adults when that happened, but the generations under that. We have these kids, everybody, raised by the surveillance. Only surveillance, only the government can keep you safe. They've conditioned people, Lorianne, to the point of beyond sheeple. I don't know what's stupider than a sheep.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I can tell you.
That's pretty much like, that's
deer.
One of the status
deer
concepts right there is, I mean, we have 20-year-olds that have been raised under this authoritarian psychology, you know, post-Patriot Act, post-9/11. And they have no idea that there was a completely different mindset before then and how they've been manipulated. They've grown up on this. And the one thing that they're never told is how our own government has funded just pretty much every enemy we've ever had. You know, our own government funded Al-Qaeda against Russia, funded Taliban, you know, created them. Our government helped create ISIS. Our government has been involved in arming and funding our future enemies for decades. And I hate to say it, but guess what? I think, you know, Ukraine is next. Ukraine is our next future enemy. And we are going to end up in a war with them next. And they will be using the very weapons that we're just handing right over to them. That'll be next.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. I mean, you know, people have been raised up in fear. You know, the government knows best. Mommy, they, in fact, I would say it's generational that, and I hate to say this, some people think the government knows better than your family does. Your mom and dad don't know what they're talking about, or auntie and uncle don't know what they're talking about, and the government knows better, and they've conditioned through public education this nonsense. And these are the same people that are looking at the mainstream media and going, oh, this is happening, or that's happening, or, you know. But, I mean, I don't know, Lorianne. Got a lot of documentation that proves otherwise.
I know. And then, you know, it's really scary to think about how much stuff we don't know. You know, how much stuff that has been watered down even, you know. I mean, they try to, like, I love it when they try to fluff up the TSA. That always cracks me up, you know. I've been seeing more stories now about, you know, oh, the TSA has found, you know, this many, you know, guns and carry-ons, and, you know, they're fighting terrorism. They're doing such a great job. And it's just like, you know, but yet they're the biggest fraud there is. You know, that they've been around for 20 years. They haven't stopped Jack. They steal more, you know, the only, I wonder how many guns they stole. You know, like the PSA, you know, they report that the PSA has found, you know, 2,000 guns or whatever and you know, carry-ons. But, well, that's the official number. But I'd be willing to bet that there's at least twice as many firearms that they find in carry-ons that they just pocket for themselves and we don't ever know about, you know, because they do. They steal stuff all the time. They go into luggage and steal stuff all the time. The TSA, nobody wants to actually investigate how corrupt the TSA really is. And like we said before, we have a generation now of people that have no idea that, you know, or can't even imagine going to an airport and not having the TSA. You know, it's always existed in their minds. And they're so needed. We have to keep funding them, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the TSA is just, it's absolutely one of those huge wastes of money and wastes of time and infringements on our right to travel. Because guess what? Yeah, we have the right to travel, you know, and the restrictions that are put on us as the result of 9/11, as the result of the TSA, as the result of over surveillance and things, you know, the reality we're living in right now was never meant to be this way. But 9/11 gave the excuse and the opportunity for our government to encroach on our right to travel. And I guess eventually we can get into Southwest Airlines cancellations and computer glitches, and then the FAA literally shut down all flights because of a glitch. They keep calling it a glitch, but I'm willing to bet that it was yet another hack, probably with the Chinese behind it. But I don't think they're ever going to admit that it was an actual hack versus, oh, it was just a glitch. You know, no, you don't ground all flights. You know what I mean? Like 9/11 was the first time that our government ever grounded all flights. You know, and now we have some glitch, quote unquote, that effectively the same thing happened, and everybody is downplaying it. And so I can't fail to mention that. And I know we're getting off the topic here, the Biden documents with that, but you know, nevertheless, don't downplay this supposed glitch that resulted in the FAA grounding all flights there for a while as a result of it. And I think that's a way bigger story than what we're being told.
Well, yeah, we're not being told a lot of it. It is a, it's embarrassing. Is what it comes down to. If I manage my woodshed better than Biden manages classified documents, okay? And it's unacceptable. And the fact that, you know, the Chinese were in the clenches of funding the university, you know, major funders, $50 million is a lot of money. It's not just dump change. To the Biden globalization Penn University office. And then Hunter Biden was the owner of the house when the documents were received. I mean, and are they Joe Biden's documents? We'll never know. I don't know. If they say they're not, I'm going to have to assume they are. Everything's the opposite. It's like upside down world. There's just no validity. I'm really interested what's going to happen. I do not expect any real intel until like 2025. Honestly, Lorianne.
I just know that, you know, I can't even think beyond this year at this point. You know, to think of 2025 and the next presidential election, I just think that this year, 2023, it's just on my mind. Like, you know, we are looking at a really not a very good year in all kinds of ways, and my brain is kind of focused on just surviving this year. And whatever happens beyond that is kind of beyond my scope right now.
Yeah. So chat is pretty heated up right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, for one reason or another, I've had problems on my end with chat, and I keep having to refresh as
the
host.
Me too. I have to
weird.
Keep reconnecting to it and refreshing. Yeah, because then I can't type, and then I refresh it, and then it works for a while, and then I get a message, you know, that I'm disconnected and reconnecting.
And now I'm reconnected. Yeah. Yeah, so I wonder if we have a bug in our chat, like, somebody who's visiting, bring in a bug.
I don't think so because, you know, I had issues too on my show where, you know, remember last Sunday it wouldn't even connect. I got the error 404. And so these chat issues seem to be pretty persistent. So I think it's on Blog Talk's end. And then, well, you remember a couple months back that I kept getting this message about a certificate in the chat. I kept getting this, you know, invalid certificate. And then I looked up the company that the certificate was for, and it's a Chinese-owned company. And, of course, Blog Talk denies it. They're like, no, we go with this company in this country. It's not for China. But I'm like, well, then why the hell was I, you know, every time I opened up the chat, I was getting this message saying that the certificate is invalid and it was a Chinese company behind it. So it's like, you might think that it's not China, but I have a feeling there's China involved in Blog Talk's chat.
I completely agree. Yeah, something's going on. It's been happening with other shows too, but yeah, it is what it is. So we do have
yep.
some other topics we're going to move on to, and I'm just going to let y'all and chat have it out with each other because I already fought my woodshed, and I'm not going to like worry about you guys in chat fighting. Right now, think for yourself and your wife. You all have
yeah,
at it. And, am I off base?
Well, yeah,
let
it's hard
at
to
it.
Pay attention to the chat and be talking on the show at the same time. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been following chat just because I want to answer questions, but I got caught up in the drama there. They're hot and heavy in it. Oof. Oh, I just plopped down on the shih tzu. That's not good. So, anyways, though.
Oh,
what?
Let it, you know.
Don't laugh. They're small. They're small. They're like little dogs, you know. I didn't even know he was there in the chair. Where were we? So, one person in chat keeps speaking in German, and I can't keep going to translate to figure it out. So, yeah, we're just going to let that go at that. So we can say what we want about the documents and we can speculate all we want and we could be here like for days speculating on why they did it and stuff. But I have to end the conversation on, I think the most ridiculous thing I've heard is that Trump planted them.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Somehow Trump planted those documents years ago.
years ago,
before he ever even thought about running for president. You know,
in several locations. In several locations. Okay. All right. I'm just going to leave it there. I mean, what the hell, Lori Ann? Really? That is the most ludicrous, ridiculous. All right, Cole, even if it was one location, but several locations? I mean, come on.
I know. Like, how many more are there?
How stupid do they think we are? They're treating people like sheep. You know, they got us cornered into our homes. They 2 weeks to slow the curve. 2 more weeks. And people complied and people complied and people complied. 9/11, everybody's scary, so we want you to get naked at the airport. People still comply 20 years later. Nothing's happened. People are still getting naked. I mean, people need to wake up, Lorianne, and they really need to be careful because the mockery that they're cooking up full on, you'll be glad, folks, that you bought all that packaged food back in 2020 and you might have a TP stash from left back then. I don't know what they're going to pull out next. I'm not even going to speculate. But
well, you know, as we speak now, the next World Economic Forum gathering is happening.
No, stop. I'm going to tell you right now, the most dangerous, before I'm old, I'll forget, I have to say, is compliance. That is the most dangerous thing humanity can give.
Unquestioning compliance. Yeah.
Unapologetic. I was never apologetic about why I didn't get jabbed. I was never unapologetic on why I didn't wear a mask or only walk one direction up a shopping aisle. Oh my gosh. If you go against the arrow in the soup aisle, you're going to kill humanity. I'm not doing that. Compliance is the most dangerous thing. You know, people say, well, we got our guns. We got this. We got that. I'm sorry. That does not mean anything when it comes down to your sovereign human compliance. And people say that Canada, U.S., and some other countries, we staved off this last invasion by the Kabul by, you know, our guns or our whatever. Good, I love them. I'm not going to deny that. But compliance is your biggest defense. I will not comply. No. No. You want a mask? No. Do you want to get naked to go on an airplane? Well, no. You know, I mean, do you want to give up all your financial information to send your Nana money? No. I will not comply. No. And it's that simple. Don't want to go to your girlfriend's mom's house? No. It's a simple word. We were all raised in this yes society. Yes, I want a trophy. Yes, I want a raise. Yes, I want the weekend off. How about a little bit of no? No never killed anybody. I mean, come on. Am I that far off base? I didn't mean to cut you off, Lorianne.
No, you didn't. No. No, you're good. We tend to do that sometimes, though. We get on our rants and we get something in our head. And you and I are both like, 5 second brain sometimes. We get something in our head and we just, have to get it out and we'll forget to say it. But I'm right there with you. It's this, what really
what really irritates me is, you know, I'll still go back to it with Oregon Measure 114 and gun control legislation, you know, restricting ammo to 10 rounds and creating a permit to even purchase a firearm and that sort of thing. And the thing is it didn't pass by the gun grabbers. It passed because gun owners were convinced that this is somehow a good thing. And they didn't even read it, you know. They didn't read it. They watched the ads. And even gun owners, they're like, well, okay. And it goes back to what you're saying about compliance. And it's like, you know, most gun owners want to be compliant with their laws. They're law-abiding citizens and pride themselves on that. And it's time to stop. It's time to say, no, you know, I'm not going to comply with this crap anymore. This is ridiculous. I don't care how much you want to try to convince me that, you know, having more than 10 rounds is somehow bad, you know, especially, you know, you live up there in Alaska or you live in an area where you have wild animals that will come and kill you. You know, whether it's wolves or whether it's wild boars, you know, any kind of pack animal, guess what? Your 10 rounds is not going to protect you. You know, you're going to need every single round you can get to, you know, and every single second to defend yourself against something like that. And,
but critters have a lot more sense than criminals do and the government. And my guns
absolutely
are not, my constitutional right is not meant for animals. My constitutional rights are just that. And it is the right to say no. Hell no, you will not knock on my door. Hell no, you will not mask me. Hell no, you'll not tell me what to do with my unborn or born child. Hell no, you will not do anything. Our founding fathers here in the government of the United States wanted to get away from all of that shit. That is not what we are built on. That is not the liberties we're given. We have been coerced people, not myself. I have said no right from the beginning. That's what got me in this whole kabukery. But no, absolutely not. You will not indoctrinate me. You will not enslave me. I will not be enslaved. And Lorianne, I know you will not be either, and I hope none of you listening will be enslaved either. I think that's why we show up. And enslavement's a strong word, and it has strong meaning. And it's not just our bonds of finance or our bonds of housing or anything else. Being enslaved is a big deal. If you remember the scamdemic, that was just a taste of it. That's like getting just a little bit of an ass whooping.
That was just getting
your
ass whooped, you know?
I just gave you a warning.
I was just getting the kindling started.
2020 was like my grandma asking me if I wanted a whooping, and I got mouthy, and I just got a warning. That was just a slap in the mouth. I mean, we could get our asses whooped through compliance, simple compliance. Just saying yes opens door to a big-ass ass whooping. And I don't want that, you know, and you don't want that. Nobody wants that. Well, you want to work hard all your life to get your ass whipped by the government, by people that you are paying, people that we're giving our livelihoods to, a big chunk of it. And investing in them and paying attention to them? No, not anymore. It's survive.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a joke. I mean, we used to actually joke when, you know, you hear the phrase, you know, hi, we're here from the government and we're here to help you. You know,
yeah,
that phrase has become more and more and more scary as the years go by, you know, because I think even the most stupid person is starting to understand that when the government shows up, it's usually not a good thing. Really. You know, and I laugh, but it's absolutely true. It's just like, just leave me be.
Well, yeah.
I don't need the government, to tell me what to do, when to do it, how to do it, in what capacity to do it. You know, I mean, more and more, we have to resist the government encroachment on our daily lives in every single way that they possibly can. And that's pretty much where we're at. And this COVID stuff is just the start of it. And like I said, the World Economic Forum 2023 is going on. And, you know, we have Klaus Schwab, you know, literally saying, you know, we are controlling the future. We are controlling life on Earth. I mean, they're literally saying this stuff. It's not conspiracy theory anymore. Transhumanism.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it real.
You know, this stuff is no joke anymore. You know, but nobody wants to believe you, even when you post
a
video of them coming right out of their mouth.
It doesn't make it a reality, though. All right. Klaus Schwab is a financier. He's selling big ideas, not only to his investors, but to the whole world. Just because Klaus Schwab says it's a good idea and this is what we should do, there's no effing way I'm eating bugs, Lorianne. Well, crab or lobster or mussels, you know, but no, it's not a good idea. And they're counting on the narrative to do it. And they're going to use fear. The world is ending. There's not enough food. There's not enough water. There's not enough this, da, da, da. Then why trees freaking out about depopulation and some are freaking out about, oh, we have underpopulation, so we need to import people from other countries to fulfill. Well, I took the time between wood chopping and building a house and foraging for food and hunting and trapping and fishing to look at it. And all the countries that are crying about depopulation, how they have to import immigrants, are all countries that have fully embraced and embraced very liberal, left-wing, open abortion practices. And the countries that are thriving population-wise, it's not that abortion's illegal in those countries. Some of it is. In some of the countries, but some of them is just like, you know, it's more, hey, we'll support you, you know, not just financially, but emotionally if you're a mother countries. And America is one of those countries that is in that where we have to bring in, you know, foreign laborers. And also you have to keep in mind that, you know, people look at America and they think that we're unvaluable. Well, we're not. We're not great. We suck in some ways. I mean, like, what was it when we were researching, this is no kidding, people. Seriously, organ trafficking. In the world, number 4 is the United States of America. Not organ donations, but illegal organ trafficking. Where do you think these organs come from? I mean, you could, Lorianne, do you think they come over the southern border?
Maybe.
Or,
it's certainly possible.
Or they could,
you know, all of these people that go missing, all of these kids that go missing.
Amen. And,
you know,
or we could say the Canadian border, where there's been like a almost 700% increase in illegal crossings. I mean,
yeah, and when all these people disappear, nobody's going to notice. But what a great way to have a nice, you know, organ supply. That's what China does. China, you know, keeps their political and religious, so quote-unquote, enemies as their supply for organs. They'll keep them alive, just barely, just enough to keep their organs alive. And so, you know, if there's any country, you know, if you need a liver or you need a kidney or you need a lung or you need whatever or even a heart, you know, then China's got you covered. Because they're literally like storing, you know, their religious adversaries or whatever. They're storing these bodies, and these people disappear and nobody notices. And if you don't think that's going on here in the good old U.S. of A. with all of these migrants coming in from the southern and even the northern border, you're mistaken. You know, if they're not cut out for sex trafficking and they're not cut out for hard labor. Then the next thing is to almost kill them, keep their bodies alive, and use them for organ harvesting and make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on just one of those bodies, and nobody will even notice.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you have, Mayor Eric Adams, and I've brought this up on the show before, but, you know, New York had implemented this mental health strategy to get people who seem to be crazy off the streets. And the parameters in even human rights and social services in the state of New York was very concerned with his proposal. But they're just going out and scooping up people who they deem crazy. And I'm sorry, but if Eric Adams heard this conversation, did scoop us both up. Because we do not jive with their agenda. I mean, we've gone from, like, fear-mongering
to downright.
I'll pull a Greta
and say, how dare you? How dare you?
Yeah. Pulling people right off the streets, like disappearing people left and right. And Lorianne, this is not, we cannot vote our ways out. Like literally, folks, you cannot vote your ass out of this. We are at a stalemate. Like every country has its growth rate and kind of peaks out. I don't want to say America's done, but the scamdemic was nothing. The social credit system and the warmongering and the camps and the disappearing is going to be real. I mean, am I far off, Lorianne? You don't have to agree. It's just kind of, what the hell are you going to do next?
Well, yeah, I mean, something interesting here in Oregon introduced new legislation here in Oregon that is expanding, or basically House Bill, look it up, House Bill 2572 here in Oregon. And here's the summary. Expands the definition of civil disorder
for purposes of crime and unlawful paramilitary activity, creates right of action for person injured by paramilitary activity, authorizes Attorney General to bring civil action for injunctive relief against paramilitary activity. So basically, they are going to make the militia illegal, pretty much, unless you have the state of Oregon stamp of approval to call yourself a militia. You are now going to be called a paramilitary, and any of your activities would be illegal under this bill. So they're literally trying to stop militias and by redefining them and making them illegal. Seriously, look it up. Look it up. You will read through this thing.
Par for course.
And you're going to go, whoa,
I don't need to, Lorianne. I do not need to. Each state has its own constitution. We are states under the United States of America. So we can even look at them as little tiny countries if we wanted to. We're not in practice, and I know that constitutionally, but do have our own constitutions for each state. So that gives each state its opportunity to like kind of flourish and spread its wings and stuff. Well, sadly, what we've seen with that growth is a bunch of muckery. And we have seen Washington, Oregon, California, New York, Georgia, some other ones. I'm just talking about coastal cities I'm just going down the coast for ease, who have kind of just embraced this what the hellism. And I have said it before, Washington, Oregon, and California are the testing grounds for this new type of loss of freedoms, European attitude, otherworldly shit. I don't even know what to call it. But it has become testing grounds for communism within North America, formerly known as the United States of America. We are the United States of America. So Oregon can do that all they want, and Washington can do that all they want, and Oregon can do that all they want, California can do all they want, and all we can do is watch. It's like a train wreck. You can't turn away. You can't stop it because their state constitution has allowed them, or their voters have allowed them. Sorry, Lorianne. And learn from their mistakes, that to never let that happen to your state, to make sure that crap doesn't happen in your state, to take every second, every lesson, every vote to say, not at home. And the people that live in their states, I've witnessed it and experienced it in the state of Washington, to watch this awesome, like state of Washington is awesome, and Oregon too, has all the opportunities for finance, all the opportunities for, development, all the opportunities for all these wonderful things. And they have, and California as well, has taken each one of these states and sunk them in the ground. And you look at the main driving force behind them, and it is the green environmentalist, and communist China, and energy sectors that represent probably Ukraine. But, yeah, there's a common denominator with it all.
Common denominator is
Davos.
Yes.
WEF. Technocrats. The One World Order.
Mm-hmm.
Reptilians. I mean,
oh,
come
yeah.
on.
Oh, yeah.
All this
you know,
stuff
it's
used
like...
to feel insane and crazy to talk about, but you know, the truth hurts and truth is raw. And when you've been looking at these crazy psyops and you don't know what's going on anymore, you don't know, you know, is it really a crappy stock day or is it, you know, George Soros want me freaking bugs or, you know, where are we at with this?
Well, yeah, it's like, this is deliberate, though, too, is to put us in such a state of confusion. It's like taking the tactics of, you know, like horseflies. You know, horseflies' strategy is to confuse you. They buzz around their head. You don't know where you are. You're trying to, you know, swat at them, and, you know, and they elude you. But, you know, and their whole strategy is to completely confuse you, and then that's when they go
bite
in for the bite.
The ass. And they go bite
yes.
in the ass. I figured a lot. I
exactly.
know.
And that's what, you know, that's what all these, you know, world agencies like the UN, like the WHO, like the World Economic Forum, like Davos, like all of that. They are all that taking on that strategy of the horsefly. Confuse the hell out of us with trying to understand their levels of corruption. And meanwhile, you know, also that they can continue to keep biting us in the ass and keep us, you know, unable to really defend ourselves about it because we're in such a state of confusion. And fear, you know, so fear combined with confusion, confusion combined with fear, great recipe for what were we talking about earlier? Compliance. I didn't lose you, did I? And the chat room's still acting up for me. I keep having to, like, restart it, reopen it back up. Blog Talk. Blog Talk really did
no,
not like
I
our
was,
show.
It was me. But what I was saying was, you know, we've become numb and desensitized. And it's...
yeah, Be Wise in the chat just said that, and I will agree. Americans have been desensitized. And, you know, look at our stances on abortion. Look at our stances on things. All of it is desensitizing us to the value of human life. Okay, I'll stop.
Well, I haven't been desensitized, and that's why I show up every, you know, every show, is that, you know, I will not allow this mockery to become the new norm. I refuse. I have lived too hard of a life. I have fought too hard to allow this. I mean, I will die on my feet before I'll die on my knees. And I know that's kind of redundant and whatnot, but I am not desensitized on this shit. I will not be groomed by the mainstream media, and I'm not going to be groomed by these narratives. I mean, these people just want us to be stupid. And you know what? If you say, I'm stressed out, what's the first response? Let's give you something for that. Let's help you with that. Let's give you some kind of pharmaceutical shit.
Oh, if you're in Canada, they'll offer you on assisted suicide. Oh, you're so stressed out and depressed. Well, let me give you the option for assisted suicide. We can make it all that much easier for you. And that'll be coming soon to
America.
Because
America,
guess what? Canada's just right there. You know, it's only a matter of time before that concept bleeds into the minds of Americans, too.
Well, at least Canada is polite. In America, Pfizer will say, well, we'll just give you this freaking medicine, draw it out forever and make you miserable, and you'll end up killing yourself in the end. But we'll make $100,000 off you before that. I mean, I'm not saying assisted suicide's better or suicide is the answer. I'm just saying that, Canada's evil for doing that. I'm not going to deny that. But so is this pharmaceutical regime in America. And they might as well sign up and get funding from the Department of Defense. I'm pretty sure they are. I mean, they have doped up and dumbed
you know
up
what?
America.
All I
got to
say,
and they
I'm
going to
say this
it
right
happens.
Now. I'm going to say this right now. For 40 years, Ron Paul has been absolutely right. For 40 years, Ron Paul's been saying this shit all along for decades. And as the time goes on, it's like I keep looking at Ron Paul's previous speeches, some of his previous articles, Ron Paul talking about his books. He's been talking about this, and it's happening. You know, it's all happening.
What
Ron
happened?
Paul is right. Like,
spoiler alert,
all of it. The economic destruction, the authoritarian government, the desensitizing of the value of human life, devaluing the concept of liberty, the changing the definitions of everything, all of it. He's been right for 40 years, and nobody listens. Maybe it's time people kind of give him another look, you know, because he's been predicting this stuff all along, and it's like down, you know, time and time and time again, it's been coming to fruition more and more.
I don't know. The guy has better eyebrows than me and probably better hygiene. So kind of hard to trust Ron Paul after all these years. Just because he hit a couple of nails on the spot doesn't mean he's a good house builder.
Not just a couple. He's hit them all.
Oh, yeah. All right. Go ahead.
He's hit
name
pretty
it,
much
girl.
All of them. I just did.
I'm waiting.
You know, especially if you've never read a book by Ron Paul, I would say number one would be read Liberty Defined. My personal opinion, Ron Paul's book, Liberty Defined, is his best work. It's a very good read, and, you know, I read it years ago. I should actually read it again. And, you know, and just look at some of his previous speeches, look at some of his actual previous writings, you know, and it's just like he's been saying it all along, and here we are. You know, the military-industrial complex to abortion and the devaluation of human life to everything. I mean, everything that we're seeing, medical tyranny, you name it. And the government getting more and more power because the people start to demand it on both sides. You know, there's a problem, you know, government creates a problem. It's the whole trifecta. And we keep, as a people, we've been so conditioned to seek out government to solve the problems that are going on in the country and in the world. We keep, you know, we keep complaining about government, but yet we keep relying and demanding more government to solve all our problems. That's the conundrum right there. And it's like, and that catch 22 is so normal and so ingrained in us now over decades and generations, that it's like, you got to kind of take a step back and go, you know, what do I do here? You know, I don't want to be a part of this vicious cycle anymore. So what do we do?
All right. Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is, like, think that, I'm sorry to burst people's bubble, but you need to be self-reliant. You need to be focused on your state issues, wherever you choose to live in the United States of America, because frankly, Lorianne, the government's gotten way too big for their britches. And as a business owner, a longtime business owner, and somebody who's watched things closely and been, you know, quite done okay, is that, you know, government, if government were my bookkeeper or my secretary or any other employee, I'd fire their ass in a heartbeat. And I don't fire easily. I've got a heart. But people need to remember that government is not the Lord. They're not the master. They're not the king or the God or anything else. They are administrators, and they have bylaws, which we call the U.S. Constitution to follow. And if they are not doing their damn job, they are being paid by you, the taxpayer, are your employee. They're not your overlord. Then they need to go. And voting them out isn't enough. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. If you're that happy going off grid, you know, go live out on an island in Alaska like me. But I mean, seriously, government is not your parents. It's not your nana.
Yeah, the sad thing is
that
there's less and less places like that to do it, because you're still in the state of Alaska and you're still under the state of Alaska's jurisdiction. So you're still, you know, yeah. And, but even, you know, the Alaskan government has been corrupted. You've talked about that a lot of times, too. So, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You having,
yeah.
You know, your
Lisa
actual liberty,
day,
your actual independence.
Bitch, you work for me.
Is harder and harder.
Yeah. And it sucks because, I mean, we'll fix ranked choice voting. But like I said, we cannot vote our ways out of this. I do not know what is in store for America, but folks, whatever it is, believe we can vote our way out of any of this. And it is going to come down to us while we are living, and those who are listening will probably be living, where we're going to have to stand up and do whatever it takes. And I'm not talking about storming D.C. or the House or any of that shit. I mean, we can go there. But that, you know, I'll stand my ground. And if I have to move my family further in the book, do it.
We need a revolution, but I don't want a violent revolution if it can be avoided, put it that way. And so we need to try to find the means by which to have a nonviolent revolution and determine and redetermine our freedom and our liberty the way it is meant to be.
Ira told you how to do it, Lorianne, 20 minutes ago. No, I will not do that. No, I will not comply. And if you're a service vendor, no, I will not move my truck. No, I will not deliver the milk. No, I will not butcher the pig. No, I will not. It starts at the bottom and it works its way up. No. No is such a powerful word. We have all been, well, not all of us, but like generationally, younger than us, have said, Yes, I'd love the trophy for graduating first grade. Yeah, I'd like to. And my kids are like, Mom, you're not going to my sixth grade graduation. I'm like, fucker, if you have to go to, I'm sorry, I never say that on the show, but if you have to go to summer school, I'll kill you. I'm not doing summer school. It's trout fishing season.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Mess with
One of my proudest moments was when I would not comply with my math teacher. This is one of the funny stories. And because I had gummy bears and I'm a nice person, you know, I had a big bag of gummy bears and I gave them to my classmates in class right before class. The teacher hadn't entered the room yet. And I'm like, yeah, sure, here, you know, I'll share my gummy bears. And then the other kids started throwing them, you know, at each other, like having a food fight. And my math teacher sent me to the principal because I refused to give up my gummy bears. My math teacher was demanding that I give him my bag of gummy bears. And I said, no, you know, I was simply sharing with them, you know, to nibble on, you know, they are the ones that started throwing them around. Why should I give up my gummy bears to you? You know, they're my fucking gummy bears. I didn't do anything wrong. I just shared them. You know? I didn't know they were going to do that. Why am I guilty?
Only
after. So he sends me to the principal. And then the principal starts demanding that I give up my gummy bears. And then I'm sent to detention for refusing to give up my gummy bears even to the principal. And then my mom gets the notice a couple of days later in the mail. I hadn't told her about that. So she gets the notice a couple days in the mail that I was sent to detention because I refused to give up my gummy bears. And, but, you know, it seems so, it's funny now, but, like, this is when I was a little kid, but this is what I'm, you know, it's an example of what you're talking about, these little non-compliances, you know. No, I'm not going to comply.
Exactly.
It's not right for you to
exactly.
do this.
Exactly. It's like,
I'm going to give up my damn gummy bears.
You cannot invite one kid to the party. You have to invite them all to your kid's party. If you want to do a, like, classroom invitation, it's like, what the hell? Last time I invited that kid, he peed in the corner. I don't want that kid in my house again. I mean, come on. I mean, these trophies, these things, people expect them. I mean, people are expecting so much in our culture. It's ridiculous. And it's this globalist attitude that's taken over. And we let it in whenever we started the space race. I hate to say it, but I mean, this has been a open door to compliance since the beginning. And when you say yes, you are complying. And people go, well, it's for the greater man good. Well, I want you to think about that. Think about your personal liberties first. Think about what's best for your family first. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for if you have children or a family or a company. You're responsible for them too. And just say no. No, I will not comply. No, I will not buy into this narrative. No. It's so simple, and people need to understand this. We cannot vote our way out of this quandary. We have gotten ourselves into this. And frankly, Lorianne, I'm afraid that generationally, or whatever you want to call it, these little pricks won't say no.
Yeah, and sometimes saying no starts being a kid in math class that says, no, I'm not going to give up my gummy bears.
Yeah.
I had to throw that in there.
Well, it's
I mean, you're a mom.
Those...
Can you imagine getting a notice that your kid was sent to detention for refusing to give up their gummy bears? What would your reaction be?
I'd be like, you communist bitches. This is give to who he wants to. I mean, seriously, where the hell did
my
kid
mom thought
get gum
it was a joke. My mom was like, is this serious? Like, yeah, my mom literally came up to me and she's like, is this serious? You got sent to detention for refusing to give up gummy bears. Oh. And I'm like, yep. She's like, she just laughed. She just laughed. You know, I'm like, I fully expect you to ground me for like 2 weeks for this, right? You know? Like, no.
They were just regular gummy bears, right? They were not like funny gummy bears.
Long before the medicinal gummy bears were even in existence. No, these were normal. They're just gummy bears.
Well, shit, Lori, and you would have been everybody's friend in that case.
Yeah, then I would
have
shared them with the principal, like, I won't give you the whole bag, but I'll give you some if you want to have some for yourself. Maybe you need it, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Too much fun.
No,
I totally get it. And the chat
the heck
is still like
we
being all crazy.
We went totally off. We went off script. And I keep having to refresh chat.
And me I lose connection. It comes back. I can't type. Then I refresh. Then I can come back. But at least it hasn't wiped out like all the messages. But it's still very, very annoying.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so we've gone so off track tonight. And that's what we do.
It happens.
It happens. But, yeah, I think the lesson of tonight's show is just say, no, I'm not going to fix the woodshed. Fix it your ass. So. That's an inside joke,
learned.
You guys. Lessons learned.
Say
don't
no
let
to woodshed mismanagement. And sloppiness.
Yeah.
They know.
Exactly. Exactly. So I see some people chat, and that's okay. They exhausted themselves.
Some of them have dropped,
So, anyways, Lorianne, before the end of tonight's broadcast, I want you to go ahead and promote the Sunday night show.
Awesome. Yes. Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, and that's 9 to midnight Eastern time. Dahl will be joining me again as my co-host as we reverse roles. But this week I do have a guest, David Greenberg. And he's an advocate for natural law. And that's not, you know, we've heard the concept natural law, natural law, natural law. But I've never really spoken to somebody that is really, like, devoted to that whole concept. And so he's going to be an interesting guest. So we're going to talk natural law. He is a de-occultist. So he has a past, and then, like, he woke up, and he speaks to natural law, and, he's going to be pretty interesting. So like you were saying about noncompliance and government and what we've been talking about tonight on this show and what I talk about on my show, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I posed a question to him saying, you know, I'd like to focus the show on, you know, your take on natural law, and then let's take a look at what that really looks like in practical matters, especially in today's times, you know, from military to taxation to, you know, community interests to, you know, local government versus, you know, and federal government when it comes to immigration or agriculture or whatever, like, you know, how do we apply the concepts of natural law to today's everyday matters that impact us? And so that's kind of how I want to gear the conversation with them. So I think it should be a pretty interesting show on Sunday night, and definitely right up my alley as far as being libertarian and mostly anti-government. libertarian, I'm a proponent of limited government, very limited government, and pro-liberty. But natural law, I think, takes it to even higher, like the next level. And so I think it's going to be an interesting conversation with David Greenberg.
I think it, where I'm at in my life, that I always like identified as conservative, Republican, blah, blah, blah. But I've seen the bigger picture, and I would lean more towards a sovereign human being law. Seriously. So I'm really looking forward to your guests on Sunday night. I'm interested in that. I'm at the point where, you know, I love my government. I respect my veterans, my law enforcement, all of that, all the people that step up to perform these tasks, that I am leaning more towards natural perseverance. And, I not only should other, you know, people in the United States look at that, but the world. We have allowed, collectively, to allow this old world system of governance to reemerge and enslave people. We're being enslaved, and I don't like it.
Me neither.
To be frank.
Me neither.
You know,
America was never meant to be an oligarchy, and America more and more is becoming more and more of an oligarchy.
We're supposed to be the bastion of hope. Yeah. We've become a joke in the hope of sovereignty. And I do not want this for us or those who become, you know, came before us, or the natives that, you know, I mean, there's so much to it. I mean, there's a lot to it, and we've lost a lot along the way and who we were. And I think it's things happen for America too fast. Kind of like one day you wake up and you're like, oh, pop star, you know? I mean, it's like, woohoo! And it's, and we've seen that. We've seen Hannah Montana's and all of that happen. And America has been that. And it, I feel like we've been played. Like, we have all been orchestrated and played.
Oh yeah, you went from Hannah Montana, which was, you know, pretty innocent, you know, show,
yeah, exactly,
kid friendly, to the same person being on
Miley
stage
Cyrus,
basically masturbating with dildos and stuff on stage, you know.
Exactly.
I didn't see
that's
that
why
happening.
I brought up Hannah Montana. No, it's seriously, we've been exploited and raped and exploited. And well, we didn't say raped, we've been exploited, because some of us made, well, not me, but like Disney made a lot of money off it, and government made a lot of money off it, and Epstein, you know. But yeah, I
speaking of Epstein, did you hear that Gisele
in prison is hosting a etiquette class.
I'm surprised she hasn't been Arkansas yet.
I know, right?
I'm kind of disappointed in the regularity of the narrative. I mean, Hillary must have been, frick Hillary, you dropped the ball. I mean, this kind of stuff is...
Talk about being untouchable, though. Ghislaine is so untouchable. If anything happens to her, there's going to be a whole world of shit that'll rain down on anybody that did it. I mean, like, she's got to be one of the most protected people in the world right now.
Only if they want truth. Otherwise, they're protecting truth. So who's going to give the truth? Who's going to drop the ball? Who's going to release that? I mean, it's one or the other with her. And everything else.
Ooh.
She's like
to totally change subjects, but I know we only have like a couple of minutes left of the live broadcast, so I just wanted to mention something to celebrate is the Pentagon finally has dropped the COVID vaccination for military members. The Pentagon has finally dropped that mandate of getting jabbed. And we need to celebrate that. It's long overdue. It never should have been implemented to begin with. But, you know, I will chalk that up to a win for our military service members that they are no longer required to get the jab if they do not choose to. I am 100% in favor of that. And all of this military service members whose lives were destroyed because they did refuse to get it, bring them back to work and give them a raise. That's what I have to say about that.
Well, I will say that, Lorianne, I do not think they're doing that out of the goodness of their hearts. They're doing it because they want people to start joining the military again and go lose their lives overseas to useless wars. And I'm not saying that joining the military is not good, but they saw a huge decline in numbers. It had nothing to do with change of heart. Not good things. But, yeah.
They didn't like the price they paid. They've had this mandate in place, and they have now seen the consequences of having this mandate in place, so now they are lifting it. Because now they realize they seriously need to be recruiting more numbers. Even though the recruitment numbers are low, we're giving the Department of Defense yet another raise. It makes sense to me. The Pentagon can't account for another $2 trillion again, and yet we're going to give them a raise. Recruitment levels are down, so those costs aren't involved, but yet we got to give them a raise. Like, what?
Yeah, they're going to send them over to Ukraine or Russia or some other place to die. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm glad that they're releasing these restrictions. Sounds all like, we're releasing you from a freaking genetically modifying shot, but will you please join our forces so we can defeat evil somewhere else? And it's their evil. It's their narrative. I mean, I don't even believe in
it. Absolutely.
I'm still
glad that they're no longer requiring it, though. You know, I know that their reasons behind it are corrupt always, but I'm glad that they're finally not going to require this. If you want to serve your country,
and you want to enlist, or you were forced to get this, you know, and you faced that choice and you said no, and you were relieved of duties because of it, it's a little bit of a vindication, even though we know the intent is to recruit more people, and we know that, you know, they're not doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. It's still a win in my book, because every single military man and woman out there are no longer required to get jabbed in order to do their job. They don't have to face that coercion anymore. They have to deal with enough shit.
I agree with that.
This is just one less thing on their plate that they have to try to make a career-ending decision about.
No, I totally agree with that. But at
the same time, yeah.
It's one of those things too that, like, they're like, oh shit, we need more forces to complete our agenda. So please, we will make you get the jab, but we'll, you know, send you off to some other worthless war. And it would be better yet that, like, I know Florida has a Home Guard or National Guard that is signing up for the armed forces. Maybe people should look at signing up for their state, where they chose to live, the values that they chose to pay taxes into and stuff, signed up for their National Guards to better protect our United States of America. Each state needs to defend itself from the federal government. It's sad, but we've gotten to that point where we are, one of our biggest enemies are right here at home.
Absolutely, from within. And didn't McCarthy just support, like, legislation to restrict China from buying farmland? I think I saw an article about that. And I'm like, okay, if that's one of the first things
that
you do as Speaker of the House is encourage legislation that restricts China's ability to purchase, you know, land here in the United States, then, hey, you know, chalk one up for McCarthy on that, you know?
You know, and people, and we're going to go just a little off time, past our normal broadcast.
Overtime.
I want to keep it at that, but I want to keep it low at overtime, is that the fact that people are like, oh, it's just farmland. Look at the geological. What is under that farmland? What do they really want? Is it really a pig farm or is it a lithium one? I'm not saying it is, but...
Or no. If you look at Minnesota and into Iowa, they are over a big, huge, natural underground water aquifer.
Amen.
That water aquifer is what fruits up in Itasca, Minnesota, and starts the Mississippi River. They're purchasing farmland anywhere in that area. It's not for the farmland itself. It's for access to that huge underground water aquifer. Of the freshest water you're ever going to get.
Yep. And it's important, folks, to not just, I mean, look at the package deal. Open it. Inspect it. Look at the warranty on the shit. I mean, don't just look at anything as, like, face value. Not with this government. Not with this country, not with any country. Because if you're still listening to this broadcast, you're interested in your personal freedoms. And I do not have a clear path to, I cannot tell you, like, do this or do that to secure your personal freedom. But I can encourage you to fight by me, fight next to me, like hell to persevere that personal freedom, to persevere and maintain your sovereignty, to maintain your sense of being. You do not have to justify your, you know, right to have children, or right to own land, or right to do business. Nobody owns the earth. We are all sovereign human beings. I'm really interested in our Sunday guest, Lorianne. I listened to a couple of his videos and did some research. And, yeah. Kind of shifting on
things. Yeah,
it's
David Greenberg. It's
going
to be an interesting conversation. I listened to like one of the podcasts he was on and stuff too, and I'm like, okay, I have a feeling we're going to have a pretty cool conversation on Sunday night with this guy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So from my perspective, you know, I'm used to living on grid and off grid, and like finding the harmony in between. But if you can imagine, I mean, some people, if their U.S. mail only showed up twice in a month, how much they'd be freaking out. I mean, that mail is a inherent right. I should get it on these days at this time. No, not in my life. I mean, and most other things, groceries or fuel deliveries or anything else. So, I mean, and government too. I do not expect the government to deliver. I mean, they're like somebody that says the check's in the mail and the check never comes. U.S. government's been like that for about 20 years with me. Not, you know, in that essence, but just
well,
saying,
no, but
reliable.
Actually our whole lives, but noticeably as we
but
get older.
People are relying on stuff. So if you live in my shoes where things are supposed to be normal, I still live in the United States, but I don't get we have no cell service, no internet, no mail, unsafe drinking water, yet I'm, you know, paying for it all, nothing. And it's stupid. And it has been a huge wake-up call.
And what's stupid is thinking that somebody in Washington is going to give a rat's ass about you there on an island in Alaska that, you know, your water is being polluted. You know?
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. You know, the only people that give a shit are the people in your community. And so, like you said, you know, it starts at the local level and not complying.
Yeah. And maybe next time I go and get water, I'll make a video of us getting water for everybody that can't make the drive or can't afford the gas to get to the water. And people are like, well, then don't live here. Well, you know what? Then don't rely on fresh seafood. Don't rely on a lot of stuff because we provide it. A small niche of us are supplying your wood, your seafood, and a lot of other cool things you all rely on, but don't realize it.
Exactly.
Because I ask myself that too. It's like, well, what do we deserve? This fine road, this fine ice road 100 miles to the grocery store for? What the hell are we doing out here? You know, why are we a part of the United States? We
don't have
drinking water.
Living like humans have survived on for thousands of years.
I know.
Without
that
government
part,
involvement.
But,
you know,
yeah,
just a little bit of
exactly.
that.
But the government wants they were part of the United States of America, so that should mean something. But when people want to go on cruises or they want fresh salmon or fresh halibut or fresh crab or whatever, and then they're like, well, there's only a handful of you. Why do you need fresh water? Do you like to eat seafood? Do you like to have timber? We're the people that make it happen. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous, Lorianne. But anyway, so we are in overtime, and we should totally wrap it up. I do have to work in the morning. Somebody has to catch all the fish,
oh,
crab,
yes.
And
your day does not stop.
The world
does not
stop. I think
this was a great show, though. We covered a lot of topics, and we covered a lot of ground, and I think that it was a great show. So I'm definitely glad to spend my Friday night with you.
Oh, what do you mean? We went off topic a lot. We had a template I wanted to follow, and we didn't even get to the template. You know, I think what kind of boils down to tonight's show and the lesson learned is that you do not want to comply. I think the easiest word in the world, and we've been told yes, yes, yes. Be a yes person. Yes for success. Yes, I want a trophy. Yes, I want a bonus. Yes, I want the weekend off. I think we need to be a little more negatory. No. And no. I will not comply. I will not bow down to your stuff. And, you know, And it's sad, too, because a lot of people, whatever your beliefs or your ideology or fundamentalism or anything that has been erased by this narrative, this they-them narrative and globalist narrative. And I want to tell it's okay to say no. No, I will not die today. No, I will not live on my knees. No, I will not eat bugs. No, John Kerry,
yeah.
Your hair.
No, I will not drink roach milk.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I am not going to eat my shih tzu. I don't care how delicious his drumsticks look. A.K.A. drum. You know, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. No, I'm not going to kill my Nikita and eat her for her meat. No, you know. Not happening.
No. But one time we'll have to get her. I do have a couple dogs, and I'd like to have a discussion who I should eat first. Because I am a survivalist, and, well, when push comes shove, which one do you eat first?
The oldest one.
No.
Because the oldest
the
one is going
to
be the one
the
that die anyway sooner. The younger one is still viable for uses, right? So I would say if it boils
you
go for the oldest one.
No, you have to feed that one. I mean, we're talking like right now, like boom. So we're not going to get that conversation right now. Drummer, you're off the hook.
Not that I was, you know, but like if it were to boil down to it, yeah, you got to ask yourself those questions. Like, you know, how far into starvation do I go before I, you know, finally have to choose a pet to like survive on, you know?
All right,
Lorianne,
I'll make it easy.
Sure.
I'll make it easy for you. You come here to rural Alaska in the dead of winter, and we'll discuss that. I mean, like, there's a clarity with hunger and the cold, okay? It comes. And I have to say, gladly, we're in January. I'm in the rainforest section of Alaska, so winter is coming. Like, it gets really nasty between, like, mid-January and Easter. So, Well, then we'll start discussion who dies
first. Minnesota is a lot like that, too, though. You know, it's just like, yeah, they called it Helluary for a reason in Minnesota. We're in Helluary now, where it got to be, toward the end of January through February, it is the worst in Minnesota, typically.
And I think too that, and I have to say, Lorianne, you know, I've spent like the dead of winter in Minnesota, sucked in Rochester, but I think what throws people off guard here with Southeast Alaska is that it starts in October, in August, and I call it October. And you start in October, and by the time December rolls around, you've had a couple, you know, 20 belows and a couple big snows, and you think it's all over with. You let your guards down, and your woodshed's and then January, February hits, and you're skirtalooed, and it's suckolas. And I'm not going to let that happen to me. But anyway, so thank you, Lorianne, so much. Anybody that's joined us tonight, I appreciate everybody that's, like, tuned in for the live broadcast.
Especially the fireworks going on between B-Wise and Think for Yourself that was going on in the chat. That was pretty entertaining to try to check in on once in a while.
Yeah, that was a little interesting. I had to shut chat off because I can't get, like, I can't get sucked into that. I've been doing social media for too long that I can't, like, get, yeah, seriously sucked into that. But anyway, so thank you, Lorianne, so much.
Oh, yeah,
and
I mean,
everybody else,
you know, it's forward to my Friday nights with you, and this is usually how it goes. It's like, kind of plan, but the same thing with my show, because we're not really scripted, but we kind of have a plan of topics that we want to cover, and then the show just kind of takes a life of its own. And, you know, if
not
we get
only,
to the stuff that we wanted
not
to, even
direction.
Half of it, then...
Yeah.
Well,
I said not only not always the direction we want to go, it's like, what the heck? What the heck just happened in my last 2 hours?
Did we land here? Exactly.
I'm sure that's the thing.
How did we go from this to this?
Did supposed men on the moon shit. All right. So, anyways, so,
I know, like, we went from, like, Biden documents to man on the moon to my story about the gummy bears and and then COVID stuff. And that's the funness of the show, though. And this is still part of the show's recording for anybody that listens afterwards. So, you know, it's been a great show. And Dahl, I adore you. You know that I value our time together, and I so look forward to you being on the show on Sunday and every Sunday that you can make it. And, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of these nights with you, like Friday night with you on this show. It's routine now, you know, and I miss it when it doesn't happen. So...
I just worry that we're not, you know, hitting targets, or we're missing something sometimes, or we're lacking in, you know, one way or another. It's one of those things where you just hope that, you know, you're saying something pertinent and enlightening, or I don't know. Short of, like, zapping these people with a ray gun, I don't know what to do with them. Well, I
can't say about the big huge satellite ray gun that just suddenly makes people wake up. I'm sure you'll see a movie about that on Hulu or something soon enough.
But I promise I didn't do it.
It's magic that wakes everybody up. Finally.
Oh, my gosh.
Effortless.
Oh, my gosh.
But, no, it's a big effort. Right. It's a big effort. And, yeah, you know, and you know what? And we keep each other awake, too, because, I mean, you know, the odds are against us, really. You know, when we watch liberal news or we watch conservative news or whatever the outlet is that we rely on to get information, you get to the point where you're critical of the source no matter what the source is. And it creates a lot of uncertainty. And you have to live in this world of political uncertainty because you're just getting critical of everything, you know, and if it, and but yet we need more of that. And people need to be not so damn oblivious to what's going on. It's better to be overwhelmed by critical thinking of what's being reported and what you're seeing than to be putting your energy into being blissfully ignorant. I do not want to be the blissfully ignorant, and neither do you, and that's why we get along.
Well, I think...
And that's why we do these shows.
And I'm gonna diverse a little bit, or diverse, or whatever, whatever the word is that I am the source. I am the energy. And I have found that through these last several years of being an adult is that the government does not define me. The world does not define me. And I wish people would just start governing their own bodies and moving on from there. You know, like I said earlier, we're in a situation where, I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe in, you know, the Republic, and I don't respect America. I love it, everything about it, and our institution, and the practicality of it. But there's nobody at the helm. Lorianne, we're in a freaking ship, like, bombing through the sea with torn sails.
And we have a dementia patient at the wheel that's the commander. That's like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's the reality we're living in. We have a dementia patient at the helm.
Yeah, so when I realized that, I jumped ship. And I think that was kind of my epiphany recently and kind of tottering on whether I want to do the show long-term or continue doing this. I mean, just for history, folks, I mean, I've been doing this for a while. And I was with other networks. I trained Lorianne. I've trained lots of people. Just hop on here half-cocked. But I've kind of realized through this journey these last few years, and I should have woke up at night. I kind of had like one of those things where you have a creeper in the house and you don't know it, and you're in foster care, but you sleep with one eye open. That's how I have felt about the last 10 years or more. With since 9/11. And I was in foster care. I know what it's like to have a predator in the house. I mean, it's sleeping with one eye open. And I'll be damned if I'll pay taxes and put up with that shit. And
exactly. Pay taxes
seriously,
that foster the very thing that
you experience. If I'm
going to
keep this show going, I'm sorry. If I'm going to keep this show going, I'm going to be done with the whole conservative shit. I have no love for the U.S. government. I respect the Constitution, but I am first and foremost myself. And myself happens to be a shareholder in this whole muckery. And I have always seen the commander-in-chief as CEO. They make sure the bills get paid. They make sure they do this. They make sure they manage the finance part of shit. But they're not supposed to tell me when I can leave my house and when I cannot leave my house. They were not supposed to tell me what kind of guns I could have or what kind of accessories I could have. Or what I was supposed to do with my body.
Or how
or my
much cash you
body.
Can withdraw.
Can
how about that? How much cash you can
else.
Withdraw? How
no.
much cash you can have on you?
Yeah. Hell no. Hell no. Human trafficking is okay, but I can't even say it. But $600? Well,
yeah.
We want to
I'm
know.
Right there with you, hon.
I mean, Lorianne, I've had it. Our U.S., our country is, like, in such bad shape. Like, not even just...
It is. It is.
I'm embarrassed for it.
I guess
and
not.
And we're
know,
the last hope
I
for the world.
Saddened that people have allowed this nation. That was the hope of standing for personal liberty. And limited government and how we have become the military branch of the world government. And somehow we've allowed this to happen. And somehow we've allowed our population to be groomed into thinking that this is all a good thing and that they even demand it, to allow themselves to be so manipulated and so unwilling to accept that they were so manipulated into believing that this is all a good thing for the betterment of society. You know, it's your civic duty to get the jab, you know, or you're killing everybody else. Like, you know, that coercion and stuff. And it's like, and accepting that from our own government and censorship about against anything that goes against the narrative. I mean, it's just, you know, we've seen it more and more. Our FBI, our CIA, our DHS, all of our government agencies have coerced on a level that my brain can't even comprehend
and
to stifle any criticism.
Guess how they've done that, Lorianne? Guess how they've done that? Compliance.
Media.
We've allowed them to do that. No. No.
The marriage
the
between government and media
no.
and social,
no.
you know, all
no.
of that.
Lorianne,
well.
No, Lorianne, you know what? Sometimes when your kids do a bad thing, you just have to accept their little assholes. And you know what? We have allowed our government to do this. We've allowed it generationally. Maybe not you and I. I'm not asking you to take responsibility. But sometimes you have a creepy uncle or a little asshole child, and our government's become that. And it has gotten to relationships with some bad people, bad kids. Bad kids. They're from Europe. They're from, you know, all kinds of places. All right. And I'm telling you, we cannot allow them, as much as we love them, as much as we love them and coddle them and thought we did all the right things. We thought we voted all the right rights. We thought we went to all the right rallies. We thought we signed all the right petitions. But no, somehow they ended up in jail. I speak from personal.
Exactly.
But
that's been historical. You know, that's historical
us.
Thing. You know. Yeah.
That's it doesn't make it better. Just because
we're one in lines of
that's
many, many,
better,
many
Lori
that
Ann.
Defied the oppression.
Defined
eons
oppression.
For eons.
When are we gonna define the oppressive? Oppressive.
Yeah.
Oppression.
The tyrant. The
oppressive. Is
the
victimization.
Enslavers.
Exactly.
You know, our government subsidizes the very companies that have vowed to be against inhumane child labor in the mines for lithium. This has been going on for decades. And they say that they're not doing it, but they're doing it. It's like you see these lithium mines in the middle of fucking Africa or something.
Others? Why would they not enslave others?
It's enslavement. They
enslaved us. We've been enslaved. And damn it, it's embarrassing to think of myself as by all means, not college-educated folks, but freaking hard-knocks-educated and hard-work-educated and self-educated by reading through the lines. And I have been saying forever we've been enslaved. And our complacency in the enslavement allows the enslavement of others. You think it's the open border? You think it's not you, Lorianne, but people think it's the open border. They think it's like, oh, just let all in and everything else. Well,
it's enslavement disguised as freedom.
People. Exactly. And you know what? We think it's okay as Americans, not you and I, Lorianne. Just full disclaimer, but been conditioned to think that bringing them in and enslaving them further, I mean, it's like kind of like the whole Epstein shit all over again. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
We are the oppressed. Oppressing
and by
horse.
The way, I have to thank you for actually saying Lorianne. Because so many people drop the Ann part of it and just call me Lori, including my own family. And it's like, no, but my given name is Lori Ann, and that's what I go by. And, yeah, I it just came to my head to thank you because you always call me by my given name, Lori Ann, the way I prefer. And I don't have to battle that with you. So I appreciate that, actually, because,
so
many people just drop the
Ann
part of my name. Yes.
I always hyphenate.
But you've always
too.
Respected it. Like, you're like, what do you go by? Lorianne. Okay, that's what I call you. You know? You're a rare
it's
one.
It's your freaking name. It's your freaking name.
I know. It's
I
my
fucking
first
Scooby
name.
Or Squirt. I mean, why would I leave off half of your name? That's like leaving
but
off
it's so
half
common.
Of...
I introduce myself as Lorianne, and people just call me Lori. It's a thing, especially in the Midwest, and I think East Coast.
All right.
They just drop it.
You know
they
what?
Go with the
e
easiest,
to be
which is Lori.
Midwest impolite, kick those bitches in the side and tell them to call your name. I mean,
I know.
Seriously,
well, the even bigger battle is getting my own mom to remember to call me Lorianne. She's the one that gave me the name, Lorianne hyphen A-N-N. As a first name, not a middle name.
She's
the one that gave it to me, and even I struggle
cues.
Sometimes with my mom calling me Lorianne.
All right. So we
funny?
Know your mom is listening to this. Your mom's listening.
Oh, I know she
right
is.
Now.
And she'll
all
even
right.
admit it.
Okay.
You know, she'll call me
she'll
Lori,
kick your
and
butt.
I'm like, Mom, my name is Lorianne. You gave it to me.
I know, but she's going to kick your butt, and I want a video.
Well, she can't really argue. She gave it to me. It's on my original birth certificate. But Social Security couldn't handle a hyphenated first name. And so for Social Security, my first name is Lori and middle name Ann.
Oh, don't tell anybody that. Keep it
well, I'm
secret.
Just saying, it's like they couldn't handle that. Like a hyphenated first name, what's that? And so it's like I literally have the government alternating my name. And if I want to get it corrected, I have to pay for it. I have to pee out of my own pocket to get my own legal name. Legal. Efficacy of the whole fucking thing is that they didn't get it right to begin with, and I have to pay to get it corrected. Isn't that just the epitome of government right there? This is what founding forefathers fought against, is this kind of ridiculousness.
Well, since you, your parents signed up for a birth certificate and a Social Security number, they signed out a, 100-year loan on you.
Well, I ain't lasting no 100 years, unless they put me on life support to harvest my organs for the next 20 years or something.
Amen. So with that said, if I were of childbearing age, I would not register any of my children. I'm serious. In Alaska, we don't have to register for 30 days, but I just go off grid and squirt the little bastard out and give him a name and hide him in the woods. I wouldn't allow the globalist to do anything with it.
Well, exactly. You're describing the premise of Hannah, the movie and the TV show. Just a totally undocumented person. Hannah's kind of based on that, and she grows into be a badass. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I know my kids are all badass, but they're registered and they have numbers, unfortunately. But if I were a little younger and wiser, had it been 20 years ago, there's no way I would have.
If we were cattle, it would be branded on our asses. But our Social Security number is basically a electronic branding of our asses.
Yeah, so. How many cattle have to get branded and pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes every, lifetime? I mean, hello. Seriously, Lorianne,
we get some of it back with our Social Security. Invested the money that we pay into Social Security over our lifetimes of working for 30 years or whatever, and then, actually reap the benefits of that, it would be three or four times as much. But we're supposed to be happy with that $41 increase that they just passed for Social Security,
$41. I'm sorry. You cannot vote your way out of this, and I'm not going to invest my way into it. I'll pay my taxes. I'll stay legal, but not going to invest in this country anymore until I see real leadership, real investment, and not investment into my value as a human being, what I can give my country. What can you give me? I'm sorry. No disrespect to our veterans. I completely respect them. I'm so grateful for my, you know, freedoms up until now. But no, not what can you do for your government, but what can my government do for me? How are you going to protect me from the one world? How are you going to protect me from this crazy green comet? How are you going to explain that shit? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. And, you know, imagine
we
if,
forgot
like,
all about the green comet.
Oh, the green comet, yes. And, you know, it's maximum overdrive. It's maximum overdrive.
No,
if you've ever seen a movie, like 1982 or some shit. Emilio Estevez, it's a Stephen King novel. It's a green comet that comes over the Earth and takes over electronics so that all the electronics want to kill you. And the main character is this big-ass semi-truck that is trying to kill them. And it's just a funny-ass movie, but yet, you know, it's like, here we are, it's 2023, and now we have a green comet that they estimate only comes around after 50,000 years. 50,000
yeah.
years.
yeah, well,
like, this is a significant comet, like, and it's like maximum overdrive. Like, okay, so if electronics go to crap, then maximum overdrive,
but,
that crappy
mm-hmm.
movie from the early 80s, will come to life.
Let's just blame Putin. All right, so
yeah,
Gal, we got
it. Behind it.
Cut it. So,
but you know what?
I
will point out, talking about this comet, last year in January, we had the largest asteroid pass through our atmosphere a year ago in January. Another huge comet, a rare comet. And it's like, what is it of January that it seems like we have this rare comet phenomenon happening? Because now it's 2 years
or
in a row that we have a rare comet
who's
phenomenon
visiting?
Happening.
Call it a
huh?
comet. I call it, I mean, like, who's visiting in January? I mean, they call it a comet. I don't believe it's the narrative. So what the hell is coming every January?
They always say, oh,
who's
it's so
it?
Rare. But 2 years in a row, last year,
yeah.
Oh, the rarest, biggest comet is passing through. I mean, I posted this memory on Facebook.
Yeah, I
and remember. Like, and now we have this green comet, like maximum overdrive, coming this January over us. And it's like, what?
Yeah. No coincidences, Lorianne. No coincidence unless you're having a heart attack. And it's a sudden coincidence, you know.
Yeah,
but
January
no,
last year, January this year, same concept, only the only difference is this one is green. Just as rare as last year, but this one is green. Like what?
Yeah, no. I don't believe the narrative. For you notice, it's going to be little green men freaking running all over everything, impregnating, sticking their fingers and their probes wherever. No.
Well, I guess to my benefit, since I'm nearing almost 50 years old, I don't think the aliens are going to want to impregnate me because they'll scan me and go, nope, she's too old. Her eggs are too old.
Just
they're
looking
too damaged.
To
they're
the
not viable.
You're just looking forward to the proven. Sorry, Mama Kellett.
Oh, no, I'm not looking forward to the proven. No, they don't need to be going up there, but they will. And
I'm all sorry, Mama Kellett.
And What few eggs
We don't know. We don't want to know what's up there, Lauren. Okay? So, what the heck?
Well, it's natural. I'm almost 50.
We have reached our end of the program. Unscripted and off track as it and so folks, if you could please tune in to Lori Ann's show. She's gonna give you some details real quick before we go. And that'd be awesome.
Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, and that's 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern time. Special guest, David Greenberg, and we're going to be talking natural law. And with natural law comes, like, sovereignty and stuff, so it should be a good time. And Dahl, of course, will be kicking back and contributing in her co-host chair on my show, Role Reversal. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun show. Tonight was a really fun show.
I won't be.
Dahl, you know I love you.
I'm just saying, for your show, I will not be kicking back for that one. I'll be fully engaged and... I think natural sovereignty is really important to all of us. And it's really sucks because I have been a huge Republican, huge conservative, and kind of liberating as is must be to walk away from a party. I'm more geared for the human race than party anymore. And, that's where it stands. I'm not going to let some party or country stand in the way of my sovereignty or my freedom or that of my children. So wherever that may land, that's where it is. And if you don't like it, don't tune
in next
week.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. You know, I don't want to be a part of it. I just don't want to be a part of this coercion. I refuse to be because if I comply with the COVID jabs or whatever, then they're just going to, you know, keep taking a mile whenever you give them an inch. And every inch we comply with just advances the ultimate goal, and I think that's the lesson here. The more you say no, the better.
I think the stance that I've chosen out here in the middle of nowhere has said it all, is no, I will not effing comply. I will fight to survive, and if that means providing for myself and my own sovereign being, then that's what it is. I'm done with party, Lorianne. I really am. I think that was my breaking point today in the woodshed. Chopping wood was, I'm done with this bullshit.
Well, you know,
and
I'm libertarian,
almost done with
even
the
I
show.
Disagree with libertarian. We're divided as well. It's like, you know, it's hard to classify yourself in a box anymore because it's just like, you know what? I am just for my own sovereignty, my own liberty. I am not going to harm somebody else, and I expect that somebody else is not going to harm me, you know, and when they do harm me, then that's a crime, you know, against my person or my property. Like, let's keep it fucking simple here, people, you know, like... We don't need government involved in every damn thing.
I'm not going to get cornered into a survivalist thing. It's me against them. And I am, I don't know which direction the show's going to go if I continue it. But if I continue it, it's not going to be a party show. It's going to be, you know, it's me against him. I'm sorry. I am pro-life, pro-human being.
It's in your name, girl. Patriot.
Procreation.
Patriot does not mean a party. Patriot does not mean
yeah.
Republican. Patriot does not mean a party. Patriot means a patriot. For liberty, for freedom, you know, for sovereignty, for our fundamental natural rights as sovereign human
yeah,
beings.
And I do not
That's all
need
it is.
The U.S.
That's what
government
is.
To keep me alive.
For that.
I don't need that to keep me alive or to justify who I am. I am so sick of the muckery that's been going on. And I'm not going to have it anymore. I'm done. I'm done with the party. I'm done with the complacency. And I've been polite for too long. It is time to put aside the politeness of society before the well-being of humanity. I refuse. I've come to that conclusion, and it's like, if you don't like it, don't listen to the show.
Exactly. But you know what? A lot more people like it than you might know. And guess what? I'm right there with you. We are to the point where this is a global thing. It's not just an American thing. This is a global thing. Look at what China is protesting. Finally, the Chinese people are rising up against their communist lockdown government. They have been, and Chinese under communist rule, they have been the most compliant all along, and now they are even reaching their breaking point.
But
that is a sign of,
like,
I cheer that shit on, you know, like, because it's that much more resistance.
You know what? Though I hate to say it, but that's like dorky girls looking at the popular girls going, oh, look it. They're resisting the most popular clothes. I mean, seriously. We're kind of just in the background right now. And seriously, the dorky girls need to rule. And if that's what it is, then that's what it is. We're going to change the show to non-globalist, non-overreach, sovereign human being show. I'm over it. I'm so over it.
I can see that.
And, no,
it's your
I'm
show.
Serious,
take it in
though.
The direction that you're feeling, because I'll bet the direction you take and what you express, you're going to have a following.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't care. But that's what's important.
People
to
will
me
listen.
Is the fact
it'll happen.
We'll show up next Friday night and we'll see. But what we're saying is that, you know, the narrative is broken. The drumbeat you're following is like a broken thing too. I want everybody to reevaluate what they're thinking. And if it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. But yeah. It is a broken drum, and the band cannot go on with a broken drum. And the humans need
drum
to stand
plural.
Up.
Really? Not just one drum.
Seriously.
But the whole drum
yeah,
section
but seriously,
is broken.
The humans, we need to stand up as humans, not as a party, but as humans, and say, we resist this. We resist this, you know, technocracy.
Global agenda.
Resist this global agenda and stuff. And I need that to go on. I can't go on as conservative this or whatever. I mean, I'm lying if I do. And I realized that today in my hard work and just being a human. And in my soul, I know it. I mean, we're broken as a country, and we need to stand together as humans against this oligarchy and this one world agenda. And I'm so sick of getting...
Us. America is their last stand of this global agenda. That's the reality. It's because of you, we are free to think the way we think and express what we can and stuff like that. The breakdown of America is the top priority for the New World Order agenda. You know that, and I know that. The more America breaks down, the more America gives up its rights, the better it advances the global agenda and falls right in frickin' line with it.
Exactly. And I think that's why the whole Joe Biden shit and the papers and stuff are like watching a soap opera. I don't give a shit about soap opera. Show me the breaking news. Okay? They're just trying to keep us entertained. And it is, I'm embarrassed by it. And it's embarrassing to talk about. I think that we have a bigger agenda to... And I'm sick of giving disclaimers about this is too weird to talk about. So that's kind of the direction the show's going to take if it's going to go on. I'm tired
of actually thinking about what's going on and saying what nobody else dares to say. That's the other part of what the beauty is of being an American is we can go there if we want to. And anybody that tries to suppress us, you know, we are within our rights. That is just the way it is. If we go down, we're going down with legitimacy.
Well, if I'm going down, I'm going down with legitimacy. Going down with fireworks, bitches. But I'm kind of done with it. I mean, seriously, that's what I told you before we started the show, and I'm going to go with it. I don't feel like carrying the narrative. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's all or nothing.
Exactly.
No, I'm
serious.
You think so? It can be fireworks.
It'll
but
be cool.
They're
well,
yeah,
yeah.
We're getting cut
and maybe
off
fireworks
now.
Are needed sometimes. Why do we have the 4th of July?
All
we
right,
have the
we'll
4th of July
it.
Because it represents the rocket's red glare. You know?
Yeah. Well, Block Talk already cut us off. So...
yeah,
anyways, yeah. Anyways, though, if you want to call me on my house phone, you can do that. Anyways, that's the end of the episode. But, yeah, let's go to private chat. So God bless you all if you can hear me now, and we'll convene another time.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Good night.
Yeah.
Yep. End the show.
End the show.
Thank you for
done.
Using Blog Talk Radio.
I think that's all done with now. I don't even know why we can
but
still
yeah,
talk.
yeah, if you want to end the show and give me a call back, go for it.
All right.
I'm here.